Alrighty, welcome back to another episode of the I Can't Explain podcast. I am your host, Gota T, coming to you live from quarantine. Yes, I realize at this point we're all bored in the house, so I hope this episode is a nice change up to your daily routine. But today, me and my guest, Mr. Eric Ma, will be talking about vintage clothing and why it's so popular, but also how it allows people to portray their unique styles. But without further ado, enjoy the episode.
What's up, y'all?
Thanks for having me.
How you doing?
It's good. I feel kind of tired, but it should be fun.
Yeah, dude. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. Today we're gonna to kind of give like a rundown of the show today. So today we're gonna be kind of talking about like vintage. Why vintage is popular, you know, and that kind of stuff, you know, why it's popping in pop culture and, you know, why people are so into it and stuff. But yeah,
ready?
Thanks.
I'm down to explain.
All right. Yeah. Thanks for hopping on, though. And I mean, before we start, we're in the middle of like this whole corona thing. So just want to do like a wellness check. How you been, man?
Yeah, it's been good. A lot of TV. Mm-hmm. I bought a Nintendo 2DS, so I've been jamming that.
Hey,
Alola region. A lot of eating at home, which has been pretty good.
Okay.
And then yeah, whenever Marie's working, I've been taking her to work, and then I've just been going to the store after, and I've just been like kind of just posting. Overall, it's been good. Like I feel like it's good because it brings everyone together. And everyone's been so like supportive of each other for the most part. Like there's a lot of positive and a lot of negative, but I mean, you know, seeing like a lot of the positives, and it's like making, I don't know, it's like really nice to see. And everyone's been super supportive at the store. And like everyone's been ordering, and like, yeah. I don't know, it's like an interesting time, but overall it's, can't complain. Like it's still, everything's still going good, and I'm thankful for all the support. Yeah. How have you been?
Dude. Glad to hear that, man. I've been good. Kind of just chilling at home and you know, just cooking lots of home cooking.
Yeah, what'd you just cook?
So today was like kind of simple. Like I just fried up some steak, but I've been kind of adventurous. You know, just like doing different dishes. Just kind of just
pretty solid.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah, I mean it's just to, you know, pass the time and.
We've been trying to recreate like our favorite food from the restaurant. So
we went to
Palama Supermarket.
Yeah.
And we got all this meat that's like already like sliced up, and then you can just throw on the grill, or you can like throw in the pot the shabu shabu. So so we're trying to like recreate like Millions or like some kind of like Korean barbecue.
Dude, yes. Oh my gosh, dude. Yeah, I'm missing just restaurant food in general. Like Millions is definitely up there. What else? Itchy Butt's
still open. Like, but the line, I don't know if they're doing the distancing over there. Everyone's still like in line with each other, but hey, I can't blame them. That stuff's good.
True. I know. Yeah. I mean, like living out all the way in Salt Lake is just, I kind of don't want to risk it for the biscuit and drive all the way to town. I'm scared.
Yeah. It's like kind of, I don't know. Like it's, yeah. Like, you need your excuse ready to go.
Yeah, dude, for real, though. Like,
it's, like, scary because then you could get, like, the $5,000 fine or 1 year in jail. I don't know how, like, strict that is or whatever. I don't know where they came up with that number, but it is, like, scary enough for you not to, like, want to go out.
Dude, yeah, that's, like, that's $5,000 I definitely don't have. So I wouldn't want to risk it. So, I know, definitely missing... All them restaurants and such. Yeah. But yeah, let's kind of just jump into it though. So, so maybe, we'll do like a profile of you. How did you get into vintage? I guess just like, let's start off with how would you define what is considered, you know, vintage, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So vintage, it's cool. A lot of people would consider it. It doesn't have to necessarily be clothing, but I deal in clothing. But you know, like antiques, stuff like that, a lot of people do like the mark time cycle of like 20 years before.
Okay.
So right now we're in 2020. So anything like, you know, 2000 is now considered vintage. But it kind of, yeah. So like, it's interesting. And there's like all these different like categories of what people are into. So vintage is like very wide. There's people that collect like super old, like World War II, like, or they'll go and like go into like abandoned farms and like you know, right. What is it?
American Pickers. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So like they're dealing with vintage and like antique clothes, like items, mm-hmm. but it's cool. It's like kind of like, there's a lot of different things that you could be interested in when it comes to vintage. Mm-hmm. It could be sports. It could be like comic book related things. It could be like, it's very wide. And
right,
so I sell like a whole bunch of different things. It could be sports related. It could be like old vintage Hawaii related shirts.
Right.
And then there's like just so much different vintage out there. And then and a lot of people say like vintage too is like things that like are not accessible or like not made anymore. And that kind of like makes it rare and like hard to find and more coveted. Yeah,
I see. Yeah, and so I guess so to a degree, like a lot of times, like you see vintage stuff, I guess more recently, you know, seen as like a commodity in a sense because it's not available, right? Am I getting that correct there?
Yeah, and like, you know, you're on Instagram like just as much as me, and you see this kind of like popular thing of like people having like archive pages and like posting like thing, you know, nostalgic things that just kind of like hit, and then it just like reminds you of like, you know, when you're younger, or maybe you never even knew existed. And like that's the cool part about vintage too, is that like you'll like discover things that you never even like knew about.
I mean, and then I guess for those people that are out there and looking at vintage, and then they're like, oh, like, why would I want to wear someone's like used clothing? Like, that's so gross. You know, like they're living their life in it. They're like sweating in it and this and that. Like, why, what is the appeal? You know, how would you explain the appeal to maybe someone that might think that way?
Yeah. So I feel like there is, like, when I first started with the store, there was a lot of like a little bit of like education when it comes to explaining, you know, what I do and what I sell and like the products. Because there's like, it's kind of like beauty is in the eye of the beholder kind of thing. Because there are a lot of things that are 20 years and older, and some of it could be like, could be garbage to someone, and some of it could be like, you know, like actually cool. So vintage, I feel like, is going to be something that like is unique. And depends on what you're looking for. Can I start the question over again?
Go for it. I mean, yeah, feel free to like, you know, rephrase it if you need to.
What was it again?
So the question was like, you know, how would you explain the appeal, you know, of like vintage items to someone that may not like 100% understand, you know, because like they're, for example, in my experience, I've seen t-shirts with like holes in them and it's like a Rolling Stones print or something, and it goes for like, you know, $150 or something. And, you know, there might be some people that are like, what, $150? Like, it has holes in it. There's stains, you know, why would anybody in their right mind pay $150? And then there's someone else next to them like, nah, dude, that's really good or whatever. That's a good price.
Yeah. Dude, there's like a whole bunch of stuff that plays factors. Like, so say like maybe you may be curious and may not understand about vintage. Like, there's things that are produced modern day that you can find and you can buy at the mall. And, you know, those, but there's also like the original and like older versions of it. So the vintage ones are going to be like the older versions of it. It's kind of like, I always kind of explain like, or t-shirts, for example, like it could be considered like, you know, you wear it, but it's also like wearable art. So like if you have like in art, for instance, like if you have like the original like Keith Haring like print or artwork, that's going to be worth more than like a, you know, something that you could find more recently at like some bookstore or whatever. Like,
yeah.
So like the original is always going to be more like sought after and like coveted by like the collector.
Hmm.
Like there's a lot of stuff that's just like, it's hard to find too. Like, it's like, maybe it was readily available 20 years ago, but you can't find it like easily. You can't just buy it now. And it takes time to look for those pieces too. So like a lot of, it's cool. Like everyone kind of has a curation and like their own eye for vintage. Mm-hmm. So people are able to express like their own taste through it and like what they like and what they think is cool. And then kind of share that with an audience. And then, you know, it's like, it's cool. It's like, you can explain and tell people like the history on why like a shirt is interesting and cool. Like, so for like a lot of the vintage shirts, compared to like a new shirt, well, this is like, you're seeing shirt.
Yeah.
But like this one's going to be like double stitch. So I don't know if you can, we're on a podcast audio, so you can't see it. But then on like the sleeve, it has like two stitches,
like two stitch lines. Yeah.
And then like a lot of the vintage ones, like before like the mid 90s, is going to be single stitch. And that's like how you can kind of tell the age of a shirt. And like, you can look at the tag. A lot of the shirts too had better quality. Like they were all, a lot of them were made in the USA. And like, that's before a lot of the shirts got sent out to like, got sent out overseas to like Mexico or China or whatnot. So like back in like the 70s, you know, through, or actually like early on, like 40s, because everything was like all in the US.
I see.
I feel like the quality was definitely a lot better. And then the way they like printed shirts had like the plastisol and like the, is versus like direct to garment, which is like cool.
Right.
I don't know. There's something about like the color popping on like a screen printed shirt,
right? And then like, and the print kind of lasts a little bit longer than something that, you know, would be like, you know, direct to garment or any of these other different shirt processes and such. Okay.
But yeah. I feel like I think being wanting to wear something unique and feeling like an individual is a big part that plays into vintage. That like maybe you're like, oh, why does this shirt go for so much? Or like, why should I pay like a premium for something that's been used before? Is just because like, it's something like special, and not everyone's going to be wearing that same exact thing as you. There's definitely trends in vintage. So like people will, you know, like are into like the band tees.
The Rolling Stones or the Grateful Dead and that kind of set and that kind of bands and music tees and such. Okay.
It's fire because, like, you know, people usually have like a story associated with those items too. Like, well, people will come in and like they'll sell their shirts, you know, that they had for like 20 years, you know, or they got passed down from their family. So it's cool to like hear like the backstory. And we like sharing that with our customers. Like for instance, we had this one guy who was, he was a doctor for the Olympics in like the 80s and 90s. So he would travel to all the Olympics, and then he brought like all these shirts in, and then there he was like, oh yeah, I remember, you know, this shirt's from this Olympics, and like I helped this Olympian and like fixed him up. I was like, hey, yeah, so it's like, it's sick. Like there's definitely like a history and story behind like the items and like vintage clothing.
Right.
That just doesn't have the same history as if as like a new item. There's definitely stories and like narratives that can be built off like the new items and new brands, but I don't know, there's something about like something being worn in, or like there's like, you know, like a sun fade or like a certain distressing that like you couldn't have just produced that like
right
in a factory. Like it's something that's like been worn and like is well loved. And yeah.
Yeah, so like There's so I guess like to kind of like put it in a way, it's like there's like a story behind the shirts you're wearing for the, you know, like the, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? Like the imperfections kind of give it that value because those imperfections have stories behind them in a sense.
Yes. But also it depends on people's preference. Like a Harley shirt with the like crazy fade and wear could be desirable.
Right.
But then like certain stains or certain wear to, you know, a certain person may not be desirable. So it just depends on like who's shopping and who wants it.
Mm. Yeah. So it's truly just like kind of like a personal preference kind of a situation.
Mm-hmm. And then that's like the cool part too, is that you know, like everyone has their own taste and like what they're interested in. And then we like being able to provide you work with this, so you know, but
yeah,
it's like you're able to provide like, you know, different like customers. Okay. You're able to provide certain customer service to everyone and like kind of cast like a wide net and try to cater to everyone.
Yeah. You can like kind of like personalize, you know, a person's look, or like, you know, give them like their own unique look that they desire. That's sick. Yeah. So moving on though, so I guess recently I'd say within the last like 3 or 4 years, I'd say, right? Like vintage has really been making a strong comeback with, people from your average Joe to like celebrities, like, you know, Justin Bieber, Kanye West, and then we have people like Jerry Lorenzo, and such with the Fear of God brand that, you know, not only, you know, make designs that are vintage, but like kind of bring back old designs, and then they specifically seek out like, oh, I'm looking for this very specific vintage design. Can you tell me like, I guess, how that has affected, you know, people's view on vintage, and why is vintage like popping up right now, popping off?
Dude, definitely, yeah. Celebrities, actors, musicians, they all, you know, have a huge influence, and you know, people just like love seeing what they wear. So yeah, like I don't know, everyone always says like the past repeats itself. So yeah, I've been seeing that like in so many like designs. That people are inspired by like old workwear and like Carhartt and like, you know, Ralph Lauren. And so like they'll take those designs and then they'll interpret it and make it into their own, or they'll pay homage to it. You'll see like, you know, like a whole bunch of brands that like Supreme, for instance, has copied like so many different vintage designs and then made it into their own. You know, there's like so many to count. There's like, they did like a Les Miserables rip, they've done Scarface, they've done like, you know, all these like things like that inspired by like pop culture and just older designs. Yeah. And they turned it into their own. And it's cool too, I think like Jerry Lorenzo did have a huge part to play when he came into like building like the intrigue for like band tees and like rock tees and like bringing like the grunge. I feel like that was like a really popular look in the 90s, you know, in Nirvana, like flannels, like,
yeah,
like band shirts. And then like Jerry would seek out those shirts and then he would print his design on the shirt and then mark it up for like way more. And then so that was like kind of like a like kind of controversial. A lot of people like, oh, you know, you're like disparaging the work, or like, you know,
like what are you doing? You're destroying like this.
Yeah, you're destroying this
awesome cool shirt,
like crazy, yeah, shirt.
Right.
You know, he did it, and then like, even I think he did this whole line too, where he like he cut up a whole bunch of shirts and then turned it into like the uppers are for shoes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
All these like rock original like 80s 90s rock shirts.
Yeah.
But it's like, dude, it's crazy. Like vintage before, you know, it's kind of like here and there. And then now, like, yeah, there's so many rappers, wearing it. Travis Scott, huge, like he's always rocking like some like crazy like vintage t-shirt. And then it does rise the prices for a lot of like a lot of those shirts. So if you're a seller and you have the shirt, then it's like, you know, it's cool, you get extra bread for it. But if you're like, you're a collector, you're like, damn, like, but then it's also like, you know, you're wearing something that, you know, they're interested in or they approved of. So it's cool. There's so many rappers, dude, like Lil Uzi. Dude, yeah, I think that's like a whole thing of like rappers wearing vintage or making merch inspired by vintage or, you know, vintage designs or things they've seen.
Yeah,
it's like super popping right now. Justin Bieber too. There's like a lot of rappers and like musicians, actors, athletes too, which is like a huge thing. A lot of like NBA players, football players.
I see. Yeah.
So it's cool.
And then
like, it brings the value up like of vintage overall.
Yeah.
That like it's good that the community and like more people are getting interested in it and like learning about it and seeking it out. Cause before, you know, items would, you know, you could find, it just brings everyone together, makes everyone more interested, gives it a spotlight and kind of really makes it shine, where before, you know, it was really sneakers and streetwear. They were always together. And then vintage is kind of like, become part of that,
like, so like creeping its way in.
And it mixes together in a really cool
and then
way.
you can kind of see like the influence on it, you know, like in streetwear and stuff, like on apps like Grailed, you know, where it's like a it's a buying and selling platform, but they they'll highlight like sellers that sell like really cool vintage stuff. Or even like a vintage seller who's kind of, I guess, kind of like in the limelight right now is even like Sean Witherspoon. He had his huge collab with Nike. He's continued to have collabs. I know he has like his Adidas that he's working on and such. But Sean Witherspoon.
And it's like cool too, because I feel like there wasn't any stores or anyone really doing like a mix of streetwear and shoes and vintage. It was mostly either just like streetwear and shoes or just vintage. And like Chris and Luke around to put vintage like on a platform where it kind of binds it all together, and that's super sick. Like, I'm definitely inspired by those guys. We're lucky to have them visit the Kamaki store a couple times, and he was super chill. It was actually a super sick time where the Kamaki store is like a Sunday afternoon. You were there that day, but you left.
Dude, literally, before.
And then, dude, that was such like a funny story. So we're cruising. It was like me, Putty. We had maybe like one customer in the store, and then Sean ended up just like coming in, and then he found out about the store because he posted like, yo, I'm coming to Hawaii, like, you know, where's the spots at? And then so many people hit him up to come to the Kamaki shop. So he was at Truist that day, so shout out John from Truist. He was at Truist finishing up there, and then John was like, yo, Sean, is there anywhere that you want to go? And Sean's like, well, I want to check out Harbor's Vintage. So actually John drove him over from Truist and then dropped him off. So that was like super boys of John. So shout out Truist.
Damn, shout out the homie John from Truist though.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Story never gets old. Jeez. so yeah.
But then so then he came in, and then he was like super down to earth. And like, it's cool because he has the shoe deal, and he's, you know, as he's like a curator, business owner, entrepreneur. So to see someone do that, and not be like an athlete or celebrity, whatever, like that's like super inspiring. Like, because I don't think there's many, like, and he is a designer of that shoe and like of like Down 2 merch, but he was, he was more of like a reseller, like curator before all that. So like, that's cool that he was able to take that platform and like make it and reach where he's at, and he definitely deserves it. And like, it's cool to see, like, you know, there's options for people that are getting into reselling or vintage or streetwear or shoes, like, that it's just being with the like that community and like that culture and like loving it so much, like, could push you to that point is like amazing.
That's sick, man. You know, I mean, and you mentioned how Sean was like kind of or Sean and the Round Two family kind of like was a big inspiration for you opening your own store in Honolulu, Hawaii. You know, talk about, if you could talk about maybe like the process of you know, like starting off like in vintage, because when you were starting, it wasn't like this whole huge thing it is now, let alone especially in Hawaii. It was like very like low key. There weren't a whole lot of like vintage shops and stuff when you first started. So, you know, maybe like if you could give us like some insight on, you know, like the vintage scene then, and then maybe now, and then, you know, your opinion on how things have changed for the better or the worse.
Yeah. I feel like it's definitely like, definitely more good than bad. Like, I'm very positive and happy, like, the way things have turned out so far. Back when I like started, I used to do it as like a hobby. I feel like I've already told this story like many times, but when I was starting, back in like 20, like, I used to do this as like a side hobby during college. So I would work in like customer service, and would do like, I work in sales at like Nordstrom, and worked at Banana Republic, worked at Island Snow, and all these different places. So I always wanted to own a business or like do some kind of brand. So I've always had that kind of interest, like always looked up to like brands like The Hundreds and like all of these different like cool like streetwear shops. And then so back then I would go look for like business casual clothes at like the thrift store. Yo, he's holding up the book. I look for like business casual clothes, and when I was there, I'd at the thrift store or like at garage sales, I'd find like all this cool stuff, like old Nike and old Stussy, and just stuff that like I just thought it was dope and I never knew existed and whatnot. So then I got into I would buy it, and then I just really got into like the hunt of like finding stuff. Like, it was super exciting. I think it's the whole like idea of like, you don't know what you're gonna find, and you can and then also you can find it for like dirt cheap. So it's crazy. Like, you could come up, like, it's the feeling of like that thrill of like rush of finding it. So back then, like, there wasn't really that many people like thrifting and like looking for stuff, so you could go to the store and like you could like go through the racks, and like I used to be a lot more picky back then too. Like, I know I was starting out, so I didn't know exactly what to look for. Like, I liked certain things that I liked. I used to look for like a lot of like snapback hats, like sports related, or like just like whatever I thought kind of caught my eye.
Yeah,
I was into like old Stussy. I find like Burberry polo shirts, just like things that I recognize from, like, not, it doesn't necessarily have to be vintage too, like a lot of just like secondhand, like things that I recognize from like just being like a cool brand and like selling at Nordstrom. Right. Like, okay, that's like a, you know, that's a high quality brand, so might as well cop. But yeah, so there's all of that. And then I was doing it as a hobby. I would sell part time, and then I would do meetups on Instagram. And then after school, after I graduated college, I was working at Nordstrom, and it was good. But then I kind of like, I was like, dude, I don't want to be confined to like working like a certain amount of time. Like, I want more freedom. So I took the chance, and then I quit my job there. And then I was reselling online for like a year and a half, like full time, which was kind of, it was pretty crazy. Like, there's definitely times where I was lazy, but there's definitely times like in that situation where, you know, you have to build your own schedule and like be your own boss and like have the drive. So you just have to like get into a routine. And so I got into a routine, and then I'd pretty much go thrifting every day. I'll stock up on stuff, then I'd come home and I'll list it. And I'd list 10 items each day. And then I'd cross list those items onto like Grailed, Etsy, eBay, Depop. Mm. And then I'd list it on Instagram. And then, yeah, it would kind of sell throughout the week, or sometimes it would sell like the same day. And then we'd also do pop-ups. Like, so I'd do these pop-ups through Art and Flea. Mm-hmm. And it's basically this event that puts on for like a whole bunch of small businesses that are starting out. So you can try to sell your product there and test it out, see if it works. So I remember like our first Art and Flea was really cool, because I've saved up like so much product.
Right.
And that's the first time like I've ever, you know, sold it in person besides like doing one-on-one meetups.
Mm.
Yeah. So that was like the first initial kind of like tester to see like, okay, are people into this? Like, what do people think of this?
And at the time, you know, like you're doing this is the very first time you're selling your stuff in public at this like kind of market feeling. And, you know, what is the feeling for you? You know, like what is it that people are into and stuff? And, you know, how do you think it's changed?
It's super fulfilling because like, okay, well, there's like, it was cool to see those things go to a home. And that's like always been like the best part about what I do, seeing like something that, you know, people just resonate with the product. But also like it did take a while to, you know, we talked about educating and like why like vintage is important or why is it special compared to, you know, whatever, some other item. So there was a lot of that. They're like, oh, you know, this is used, or like you're charging this much for that much. And, you know, like they don't expect that because they expect it to be like thrift. But there is like a difference between thrift and vintage. Because thrift is like, you know, just whatever secondhand items. And then vintage is going to be your specialty. Like, I hate to say like boutique or like curated, but it is. And it's
right. Yeah. It's like you handpicked it yourself.
Handpicked. And then, that, and then vintage like also has a lot of like work that went into that. And then so like after that, like we would gain a following. So little by little, like more people would come to the events, like, and that's like where I first met you. We sold at one of the events and you bought a guest shirt. That's when you were not wearing glasses. And there's like a young T still in, maybe like last year of your high school, right? Or I don't know.
I think so. It was like my last year of high school or maybe like my first year of college. But you were at Ward Shopping Center. Mm-hmm. You were like, it was just like this pop-up tent at Art and Flea. And yeah. And then now you're here with your own shop.
Yeah. So then it just kind of built like over time. So people got more and more into it. And I think like, it was like good timing too. Like, I think we're just like right place, right time, but we also like worked hard for it. So it ended up being, you know, we're thankful for the way it's ended up so far. And then, so now, we did all those pop-ups and then we saved up enough. And then we opened the spot in Kamiki. And then that was cool too. Cause that was like a more like low key, like everyone is welcome, but it was cool because you really wouldn't know about it if you didn't hear about it. Like you wouldn't just stumble upon it.
Yeah, it was like kind of like tucked away.
Mm-hmm. So it's on like a second floor. You couldn't see it from the street. Super hidden and really tiny. Like if there's like five people in there, it would be like really crowded and you'd feel like claustrophobic, but it was fun. Yeah. Like, and I'm glad it's just like gradual and like, just, you know, very like trying to build relationships with everyone we meet. But vintage, like overall, yeah, has changed so much in like the last few years. Like there's a lot of stuff that I remember selling 3 years ago, 4 years ago, like when I started. And then now it's worth so much more, or some of it, like I sold for a lot back then and now it's not. Like there's so many trends too, right? So like Tommy Hilfiger was popular, but now it's like not as popular anymore. So yeah, overall it's like changed a lot. And then there's, you know, we moved to a bigger location, and it's cool to see like that the interest is there and that it could be like self-sufficient and like people are interested in it. Yeah. And there definitely been like a lot of different, I don't know, I feel like it's always like it's kind of moved into the culture now in Hawaii, and like it's slowly getting there.
That's awesome, you know. And personally, I've noticed that there are a lot more you know, shops, there are a lot more individuals that are getting into buying and selling vintage stuff or collecting vintage stuff. You know, I guess with this rise in popularity, you know, but for someone that's been in the game for a very long time, you know, do you have any tips or hints or words of encouragement for anybody that, you know, wants to pursue this as a, you know, possible business, I guess, venture, or even just like someone that's like getting into it and they're like, ah, like they're kind of on the fence. They're like, oh, you know, I don't really know how to feel about vintage. Any input?
I'd say like, I don't know, like I wouldn't say like I'm an expert or anything, but it's like from my experience, I'd say just I don't know, have fun with it. Like if you don't feel passionate about it, like I feel like you definitely, it's easier to sell things that you really care for and like and enjoy versus like selling something that is whatever to you. So I'd say like, you know, if you have an interest in it and you really love it, then go for it. And I feel like by just, you know, being interested in it and like wanting to learn more about it, then you'll get better over time and like learn more and be more active. And but yeah, I just say like just be consistent and you know, like get into a groove. And like I struggle with that too, but like I always try to think of like the best, you know, like best way to get better at something, or you know, reach out to people that inspire you or like you admire. And like there's a lot of people that can mentor you in business or in vintage. And there's like a lot of just like information out there that you can soak up. I love like being part of your podcast, because I've listened to so many podcasts. And
thank you.
Like it's cool to like be able to talk, and like I'm so used to like listening and like, but it's cool to be able to express like, you know, my thoughts and what I think about stuff. And but yeah, if you're just starting out or if you're getting into it, like just kind of don't, like everything kind of happens at its own pace. So just like work at it each day, and like you'll get quicker and better and faster, and you'll learn more. Yeah, don't expect to be like a expert in like, you know, like a week or whatever. Like it takes time, and pay your dues. And there's like also like different stuff where it's like, don't be afraid to like mess up or like, because like sometimes, you know, like you learn from your mistakes. Like say you sold something for cheap, and you're like, damn, like I undersold myself. But it's like, at least you know now. Like if you didn't, then you wouldn't have had that experience, and then apply it to, you know, your future. Is that okay?
Yeah, no, I mean that's awesome. Yeah, I think that's like really encouraging for anybody that wants to get into it. And then one last thing before we kind of like, you know, we wrap everything up and stuff. What is your stance on like this whole idea that like, you know, people are pushing for vintage because like it's this like this awesome idea of like recycling clothing? I know we kind of briefly talked about that, but yeah, like it's such a cool idea where you're able to, you know, go into someone's closet and someone's like, I don't want to wear this anymore. You know, because it's too faded or it doesn't fit anymore, and you're able to give it a second life. Like, how do you feel about that?
Dude, it's like that's like one of the best reasons too to wear vintage. Like, I always say it, but like, wear vintage, like save the world. You know, like, so, you know, you're doing your part by not contributing. Like, there's nothing wrong with buying new things, but if you are buying secondhand, then like those new things cost, you know, it takes a lot of resources to make, like water, mm-hmm. electricity, like labor. It could be sweatshop, I don't know. Like, so there's all these different things. And then like, you by buying secondhand, like, you're not involving yourself in that. With nothing wrong about that, but it's like, you're right. just like nice to give something a second life rather than it like going to the landfill, and then at mm-hmm. the landfill, like, you know, they burn it, or they, you know, like, they, it just like sits there, it doesn't do anything. And yeah. so it's all about like being sustainable and using, you know, reusing things, mm-hmm. and, you know, finding these things, like seeing these things go to like a new home. And yeah, it's cool. It's definitely, that's like a huge, huge, huge part of like why it's important, and, you know, why you should shop vintage or secondhand versus buying new.
Yeah. Bro, I mean, and like, you know, like, think of all the steals you can get when you go to like Savers, and then you're just like, dude, whoa, yeah, this is a dollar? Like, okay.
Yeah. Crazy too, because if you look at the price, like, if you're comparing like, you know, something that you would buy at like Urban Outfitters versus like something that you could buy at like a vintage store, like yeah. the vintage store is going to be usually cheaper, and the quality is going to be better, and yeah. just more unique too. So yeah, there's like so many factors, but like, yeah, you might like, it's just, yeah, you gotta be like thinking about those things, and like mm-hmm. that it's cool that you're able to make a difference too, just like as an individual based off like, you know, your consumption and like what mm-hmm. you wear and what you buy as a consumer. Like, that's super important.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that's such a great note to end on. But before we go, I want to just open it up to you. So yeah, feel free to plug yourself. Where can people find you on social media? You know, yeah.
Okay, so you guys can follow the shop at Harbors Vintage. Yep, and then so we're at 1253 South Britannia Street.
Yeah. Oh, don't come now though. Don't come now. Don't come now. I mean, yeah. So hit him up on the DM for it. Yeah, for, hit us for up stuff. On the
DM. We respond very quickly. We're always on there. So if you see anything that's on sale on the feed, feel free to hit us up. We have the website going. Shipping is fast. Takes like 1 to 3 days. It's crazy to think about that when this drops, we're probably going to still be in quarantine.
Probably, so okay. Yeah, unfortunately.
Brighter days, man.
Brighter days. Brighter days will be ahead. Ooh. Yes, indeed. Yeah, yeah, but yeah, until then, though, yeah, so they can find you on Instagram, on your website, with the link on your Instagram. Yeah,
thanks,
and then
for
like,
having me.
Yeah, no, thank you for being on. So very grateful. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, awesome interviewee. But truly, thank you for sitting down with me on this awkward kind of Zoom meeting.
I think it was good.
Yeah, but thank you very much. I truly appreciate it. But hey, I wish you well. Hopefully we get through this sooner than later. But until then, see you later.
Shoots.